Well, good morning, Victory Life Church. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with all of you. This morning, we're going to start reading from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And in this modern age, we tend to kind of get focused on not getting caught and swept up in legalism and religiosity and all of that. But Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. The law is a good thing. It is the way that the Lord grew us and intends for us to live. So this morning we are going to praise together, hallelujah, that Jesus, the living word, stepped into our own shoes, walked on our own roads, and walks alongside us in life. That the living word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Jesus, we give you all the glory this morning, and we just celebrate you here together collectively as a community, saying, have your way in this place. Amen. Let's worship together.
Is a lamp unto my feet, and your way is the only way for me. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I want to be on it. It's a narrow road, the mercy's wide, still good on your promise.
Come on.
I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I believe it. I've seen how good it works. If you started, you'll complete it. I'll take you at your word. You spoke and the chaos fell in mine.
Hallelujah.
I know, 'cause I've seen it in my life. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I want to be on it. Oh, it's a narrow road, the tide is high, too part in the world. Your grace is always enough.
church. Well, my voice is like, That's okay. Every breath we have is from the Lord. So during these next two songs, we invite you to step into a time of worshiping, not just through song, not just through clapping, not just through the reading of scripture, but of giving and generosity. We are called to be so different from this world that we live in. And one of the ways that the world can tell that we are different is by the generosity that comes with the Spirit of the Lord. So we have multiple ways that we invite you to give this morning through the app. There are little envelopes underneath the seats in front of you, online. Maybe you have that set up automatically. We have these buckets up the front if you wish to give now. We have green buckets in the back if you wish to give maybe more privately. But I had a scripture to read over that this morning from 2 Corinthians. But this I say, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. And the abundance that we are given from the Lord is for his works, his goodness, not for our own glory, not for an earthly gain. There's no like reasoning with the Lord, like, oh Lord, if I tithe this and then offer this additional amount, can you elevate me into this promotion, or can you? That's not how the grace of the Lord works. He is great. He is gracious with us. That is for sure. But there's no bargaining chip. We don't have any elevated ground to stand on. Instead, he is the one who elevates us. And it is when we come to him with gentle and humble spirits that he hears our prayers, and he puts the faith that we have in action so that his kingdom and his glory can just spread like wildfire across the earth. And so God, that's what we come here this morning to say, that we need you. We need your freshness. We need your gentleness. We need you. We don't need anything that we have in our pockets, anything that we're hoarding for ourselves. We just present to you what is already yours and declare that you are holy, you are good, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's what we want, is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit's out rushing wind. Fire of God, fall within. Holy Ghost, breathe on us, we pray. As we repent and turn from sin, revival embers smoldering. Breath of God, fan us into flame. We need a fresh wind, fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. Oh, pour it out, pour it out. For hearts that burn with holy, purify faith and deed, refine us fire, strengthen what we
desire nothing more than you.
desire nothing more. Nothing this world offers stands up to you. We desire nothing more. We desire nothing more. We desire nothing more than you. We desire nothing more. We desire nothing more. We desire nothing more than you, Jesus. Let's sing it. We desire nothing more. We desire nothing more. We desire nothing more than you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You are holy, Lord. You are holy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Your glory. I was sitting here watching all this unfold from the back of the room, and I was thinking, like, it's right here. Like, it's all around you. Like, if humankind is created in God's image and you're feeling like his glory is absent, then you're not connected enough. Not saying that condemning. I don't even think that's a word. I'm not saying that for condemnation, but you might have forgotten to look at baby Hank this morning. You might have forgotten to look at Mila and Olivia this morning. You might have forgotten to see the smiles, to see the handshakes, to see... You might have forgotten to listen to the harmonies between these two ladies right here. You might have forgotten to hear the keys. You might have forgotten to hear the bass and the drums and how it all comes together. Because God's goodness is everywhere. I was listening to Sheryl Crow this morning on the way to church singing, "I'm going to soak up the sun." Okay? I think metaphorically she's talking about God. I'm not sure. But there's a line in that song that says, it's not having what you want, it's wanting what you have. So there's this acceptance that we come to, right? Or we don't. But there's acceptance that we come to say, God is all around us waiting for us to figure it out. And he's not hiding. He really is. It's not hard to see him. And that's probably not fair for me to say. It is hard when you feel paralyzed by your emotions. But my point is, he is here. He's not absent. It's just that we get blinded by our feelings, which is all the more why we need this room. That's why I came today. I knew they were going to be good, but I didn't really come to hear good music. I could have sat at home and heard good music. And I think Jake's going to bring a good word, but I could have listened to a good word online in a podcast. That's not why I came. I came because I need to be connected to all of you guys. And I think you need to be connected to us. And then we need to be connected. All of our connections obviously need to point upwards. Because we are created in the image of God, and he is worthy of our worship. So today, let's just bow together and let's just say, God, you are worthy. You're worthy of everything that has happened so far this morning. You're worthy of what will happen. You're worthy of far more than that, obviously. We know that we cannot sing a song that's as beautiful as you. We cannot see a room with all of your beauty because you're infinite. So we can't see every facet of you. We can't find every corner of you because it's endless. And so we praise you and we glorify you and we confess the truth, which is that there is nothing worthy of our attention, our time, our limited resources more than you. It's you. It's always been you. It always will be you. It's you. So may your kingdom come and may your will be done here in this room as it is in heaven. We love you. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. Let me see if I can get these announcements. Juliet knows I'm paralyzed with technology, so not only has she given like an app for me to look at, but also texted me this morning, which is very nice. If you are new, welcome. You have accidentally or purposely landed at Victory Life Church here in Chandler. We are one church, multiple locations. This is our pastor up here, Pastor Steve Pulaski. Wave your hand. Hello. Wave your hand. Yeah, there he is. So, welcome. We're glad that you're here. A couple of announcements that we wanted to highlight this morning. So we are planning for the last Sunday of March with some special items on that agenda. There is going to be a baby dedication. So it's not a baby baptism, in case you're worried about that for some reason, but it is a baby dedication, an opportunity for all of us to pledge together with the parents that we're going to do our best to raise these children the way that Jesus would want them raised. And so if you are interested in that, like if you haven't had, if you got a child that you haven't had dedicated, talk to Pastor Steve about that, who just waved his hands. So kids and youth, camp registration is going on now. There's a deposit of $49 that can be paid now, and the remainder is due 2 weeks before camp. Kids camp is June 9th through the 13th. They're on the screen. And then we've got youth camp, which is the 16th through the 20th. And you can see the age ranges there. So Juliet is going as a counselor to kids camp. This is Juliet playing the keys. We're pretty good friends. And then please let Pam or Juliet know if you are interested in serving as a counselor. And this is Pam. Pam is the one you hear laughing above everyone else in the room. So her and Steve are pretty good friends. And then today we are excited. We've got a couple of other friends of ours, Jake and Stephanie Pulaski, up here on the second row. You're going to hear more about them in just a few minutes, so I won't belabor that point. Jake is sharing this morning, and Steve will introduce him. And also, he is going to be with us tonight for a men's ministry night. And that's going to be... Wait, is that at your house? No, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. There are mistakes here that I'm catching. That's shocking. So that is here at the church from 4 to 7 or whenever it ends. But that is all I have this morning. So we're going to take a 5-minute break. Coffee out there. Go get that refilled. Maybe you need more donuts. We love you. We'll see you back in just a few minutes.
I've got several things I need to say. First of all, our speaker this morning is Jacob Pulaski. His name is spelled different. That's a story I'm not going to tell right now. You can ask me later if you want to know what that story is. I call him my nephew. I like to call him my nephew. And since I have the microphone and I can't, I'm just going to do that. This is my nephew. He's not really, he's some kind of cousin, but his father and I are double cousins and... So on paper, we're like brothers, and relationally, we've been like brothers we've spent lots of time together in these years, and so that's why I call him my nephew. Yeah, thank you, Harley. Get out. So they have been in Israel, And there's a lot, when you talk about Israel and you talk about the Jewish people, it means a lot of different things to different people. But to me, it the whole thing with them traveling to Israel is kind of like Brent was talking about watching the original Star Wars movies, the ones that came out like 50 years ago. Has anybody seen those, the original movies? And when they introduce the Force and the dark side and all that kind of stuff, when I think about the Hebrew people and Israel and all, I see people who are stuck in that very first movie. They know there's a Force, they know there's a dark side, but all they ever live is the dark side. They never know what the rest of the story is. We can, when I talk about Star Wars, most of us think of, you know, the triumphant song and when they're giving out awards because the rebels have won, or, you know, whatever the deal is. And as Christian people, I'm afraid we're complacent about a lot of things, but we know the rest of the story. We know what the victory, we know who wins and everything. And the weird thing is the land of Israel and the people of that country, the Jewish people, are part of the same story, but they're stuck with no victory and not really understanding. And when you don't know the victory, you don't even know what your place is in it. And so it is so interesting. We spent several hours in this past week with Jacob and Stephanie and their two children, but hearing what's going on. And we sing songs about fresh wind and what God's doing, but they get to see it every day. Going to the convenience store and sharing Jesus with people that are hungry, people that want to know what the rest of the story is, and people who are hungry, just hungry. And so it's exciting what they're doing. It's exciting to hear missionaries in any country, and that's basically what they are. Don't say missionaries, don't post it anywhere or anything, because that confuses a lot of things with visas and things like that. But I'm going to invite Jacob to come and share with you this morning, and just prepare to be blessed. He was here 6 or 8 months ago and shared then. So anyway, take care.
Love you.
You got it.
Wow. What amazing worship. You know, I always take notes. I was talking to, we've been staying with the Fars this week, and we've been like crazy blessed, or that's as tall as it gets. The spoiled is what it's been.
I think it'll actually get, no, don't pull here. Okay. Do this. There.
All right. So that's me. That's what I'm able to do, right? We've been getting spoiled, and I've been... And I was thinking about just all the conversations we've got to have and the time of rest it's been. And then we come to church and like Jesus spoils us. Like we worship him and he comes and he just spoils us with his presence. And I was just thinking about that, of like, that's all we have to do is just be in his presence and be ready to receive and like know like we can take him at his word. Good. And that's what he's telling us. He's saying, if you come to me, if you're brokenhearted, if you're beat up, if you're tired, if you're cast down, you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay confused. You don't have to stay trying to do it on your own. Just come and let me spoil you. Take me for granted. That's what he's talking about in giving. Like, that's the one place he says, test me and I will spoil you. Yeah. And so that's, I have notes, and we're going to, before I get off my notes, that's us. That's our ministry, the few ministries. And we've got some pictures from Israel, and some of them I'll explain and some of them you just get to see. So if you'll go to the next slide. That's what we do. We really, and I'll talk about that later. We're the workers sent to the field. Next slide. So this is our vision. The Few Ministries comes from a place where we see ourselves able to serve well along what other people are doing. I'm not trying to do something new. My wife and I aren't trying to do something new. We really see it as something like what you're doing, you do it best. That's your design. And we just feel like we're really good at coming alongside people and being cheerleaders. And so, next slide. And this is why. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. 38 says, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the field. There's people praying for us. Not just that we'll be saved, not just that we'll have an abundant life, but they're praying for us because they need workers to come into the field and harvest what other people have sown and watered over time. That's a plan of action. It's not a plan of hope. It's not a plan of maybe. It's not a plan of praying about it. It's a plan of action. Why do we get to be ministers? And why are every single one of us called to be ministers? Because there's harvest that needs to be reaped for the Lord. That's why. Next slide. So that is our mission. What does it mean to harvest? It's salvation. That's harvest. That's the first harvest we get to do and be a part of, is see people recognize God and go, yes, that's it. I'm done. This is the end of me and the beginning of you. That's a harvest. And so we've done that in all manners of ways with other. There's a screen right there. That's more convenient. And that's what we want to do, is like we come in, we want them to see every attribute of God. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit and not fruits of the Spirit. It's if I have His Spirit in me, all of that comes out. You will know all of it, not just part of it. You don't get a little bit of joy and no patience. It's one or nothing. Next slide. So our FAML is on there. This is technology. Family. Next slide. So this is us just over at the top, but we're actually just waiting to go on a trip with family. And my wife Stephanie will correct me if I'm wrong in any of these. But if you look really close, the gold to the right of us, that's the Dome of the Rock, so that's the old city Jerusalem, and just below us beyond that rock is the Peace Force. So that's kind of cool. Next slide. That's my daughter. They went on a homeschool outing to go hike with some people. Is that right? Is that what this is from? Oh, I'm sorry. This is way more significant than that. Okay. Down below, Song of Solomon, it talks about the spring of Tirzah. That's the spring of Tirzah at the bottom. And this is highest probability of geography, where Abraham stood and when God said, this is where your family will inhabit this place. And there's like a 3,500-year-old oak tree right in front of Izzy. And it's just, it's wild to see those things. And we drank coffee there. Next slide. This is us in, not the old city, but down by, is it the old city? Oh, it is the old city. In the old city, you'll see online that umbrella, I call it Umbrella Alley. It's not an alley, it's a street. So when Stephanie saw it, she was like, we have to have a picture. I was like, okay. And this, if you'll look, you'll see a trend. I'm always right there. We're lined up the same every time. It's funny. Next slide. This is probably one of the most impactful pictures I will ever be a part of in my life. And it's not staged. And it wasn't this thing of like, let's show how brave we are. I needed a picture because God did something I could never do in that moment, and that was comfort my kids as we were hearing missiles be intercepted outside of our window. And my oldest daughter, Izzy, who is very logical and has all the questions, just said, "Dad, are we going to be okay?" And I said, "Babe, I don't think God would call us here just to be destroyed." And normally there would be about 45 minutes more of conversation and question and answers. And she just said, "Okay." And I knew more than I've ever known before, Jesus' spirit in us as the comforter. I mean, I got to watch it take hold of my daughter in a way I've never experienced seeing it in anybody else. And I've seen a lot of crazy stuff. And so those smiles aren't fake. It's the real deal, being comforted by Jesus. Next slide. So that's just an old wall outside of the old city of Jerusalem. And you walk, it's right like walking towards Jaffa Gate, and it's really pretty. It's just crazy, like, to be able to take pictures like that. Like, you're just walking and you're like, huh? It's almost as big of a deal. It's like if you were on Abbey Road and took a picture. Like, it's really close. All right, next slide. So we got to spend 3 weeks in Italy with 8 different families of the IDF. Next slide. This was our first group, first day, just sharing our testimony of what we had gone through of from PTSD and trauma and all of the physicality that comes out of that, and a broken marriage for 14 years. And the beautiful thing is, right now, it's not post-trauma there, it's acute trauma. And so, like, it's getting ahead of something before it begins to deteriorate marriages and relationships between a father and kids and everything. And so it was really incredible. Next slide. So this is, we had Shabbat dinner. This is a little town called Graniti, and this wine press is like 300 years old. The people kneeling at the bottom, Betty and Giuseppe, his name's actually Yosef, he's Jewish. So, but since he moved to Italy, it's Giuseppe, which is Joseph in Italian. So this was Shabbat meal with one of the groups after we had a night of testimony of what God had done throughout that time. Next slide. And this is another group. And God did some amazing things that you just don't even, there's not even words of, like, you sit and just tell people your testimony, and it really is. You get to see the power of God do the same thing in somebody else because they have hope in hearing that he did it to you. And they feel like you're reading their mail, but really it's just experience. That's the reality. Like, your trauma is no different than my trauma. No matter where it happened, how old you are, who did it to you, it doesn't matter. It's the same chains being broken by the same power of the Holy Spirit in us. And it's just, it's crazy. And the whole time you're, well, I won't get into all that. Okay. So I just look at the pictures and I remember all that. Next slide. So Narkees Street Congregation is the church that we're going to be a part of over there. And I'll talk more about that this morning, hopefully. Next slide. So this is us doing white people stuff. This is Thanksgiving. And in Israel, they're like, "We're having Thanksgiving." I was like, "Can we not get away from this? We have to intentionally be gluttonous." So next slide, which it was actually just a powerful night for me personally. This is the kids from the congregation having a Christmas get together. Which is really cool to see your kids make friends. And it's not like all Israelis. Like, some of them are Dutch, some of them are Palestinian. an American and Brazilian. Wow. Yep, awesome. I nailed it. Next slide. Church pot. We do potlucks in Israel. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. A little bit different food. Next slide. And same, this is our congregation. The cool thing, you can't see it. I'll talk about it later. Next slide. And we've, one of the crazy things as you get, as you go and spend time in a place is you have to integrate. And so you have to build, you need a community. You're by yourself. And when you first get there, you're just kind of like awkward. Like, and then like you find your other awkward people and you end up building community. So this couple, Nick is the husband on the left and Taran is the wife on the right. He's Dutch and she's American. And they're like, they're our people. They're just as awkward and weird as us, and it's amazing. But this place is Masada, and it's one of Herod's palaces, and it's built up on top of this mountain, and you have to hike up. Well, actually, you can take a gondola. Isn't that in the water? Anyway, the thing. We'll call it a gondola. A ski lift. Like thing. We hiked up it, me and Izzy. This is one of Herod's palace. And he had tons of them. And the cool thing, and my wife pointed it out, this isn't me. She has a video of all the kids just playing in this open area up there. She's like, one of the guys that had all the power and all the wealth and all the ability tried to kill our king. And now our kids are playing in the ruins of what he had. And it was just like this thing. She said it, and I was like, oh my word. They're playing tag. It's a joke. The joke's on him. And it, I mean, it was just this like profound thing of we get to see this. And so that's part of our community. And you get to do amazing things in crazy places. And next slide. So this is a kids worship at House of Prayer called Sukkot Hillel. And they let the whole intention of this at 24 hours a day for like the last long time. There's been prayer in this place over Jerusalem. It looks over. It's one of the most, it's like a $20 million view. And it's insane. And people just pray over Jerusalem. And they just open it up. You don't have, Izzy does not know how to play piano, and she's sitting at the piano, and it's just about worship. Whatever's in you, get it out for the Lord. And it's, I could never do that. These ladies that are doing it, like, it's a calling, because I would just be like, this isn't worship. This is ruckus. But for them, it's worship, and it's a beautiful thing. So, next slide. Maddie was actually on the drums in another picture, I think. It's crazy. I'll talk about this here in just a second. But this is a big deal for me. Next slide. Golly, I could just talk about all of these. Yeah. So we got this opportunity to go to Hebrew University and speak one Shabbat service. And they wanted me to talk about prayer. And it was just like profound because to be asked to speak about prayer, there's a level, like next layer stuff that happens as you prepare for that. And there were some of these guys, and these are brilliant people, like postdoctorate medical people figuring out DNA of cancer and stuff. Like it's crazy stuff. I don't even know. But just to talk about with people who are so intellectual that can just cut it off and see the practicality of like the supernatural and being able to have conversation about it, was really profound to me. So it was just, I mean, it was one of, and this was like our third week in Israel. And it really just kind of made me change my mindset of what the trajectory and possibilities of our life was. Next slide. This is talking about ministry with another organization called Ma'oz, and they do like amazing multimedia stuff, translation for curriculum from English, actually any language into Hebrew. And then they also have this like multi-million dollar studio where they're trying to get people like to begin to write their own worship music, and they want to produce it. And these people are for real. Like, you walk into their worship studio and you feel the saturation of the presence of God. It's not like, let's do something good so it can be good. It's like, let's take something good and make it godly so that our nation can be changed. And it's really an amazing thing. Next slide. This is having a Shabbat meal with some of our friends. Next slide. This lady, Kamala, she worked at it's not Harris, by the way, so don't leave. She was a barista at a coffee shop right next to our house, and just really fell in love with our girls and loved on them, and our girls loved her and like made her this heart, and it just like connected them instantly. And another one, Hoshin, who's works there too. And so when we left, it was like it felt like saying goodbye to family. And that's a deep connection to make with somebody who's making your coffee in 5 months. It's totally a God thing. And then we found out that she lived like right across the street from us. Next slide. And this is Stephanie with some of the moms that went to the zoo. Just community. Next slide. And that's our tourist photo with a couple of Israelis that we made them act like tourists with us, which was really funny. They were like, we're not taking a picture. The sign says, I heart JLM, which stands for Jerusalem. And it's like the typical tourist picture. Next slide. And this is us getting Hebrew lessons from one of our friends named David, who served in the IDF and came to Montana to go backpacking. And he was tent mates with Greg. Next slide. And this is like the biggest thing, because I don't know what y'all know about y'all. We have people in this room that have sown financially, and I'm not talking a little bit, I'm talking about significant amounts that make this possible. And we have people that are intentionally praying. And I don't care how much you have, how much money you have, if people aren't praying for you, there's no way for you to stay. Yeah. That's the reality. And so we literally got to watch prayers unfold in front of us from crazy things that I don't have time talking about. But literally you're walking into a situation and you're like, there's no way. I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. And you just see it break. And you go, that wasn't my prayer. That wasn't my heart, because I had some fear. I had some doubt. I was questioning myself, and you see a way made. And so if you've prayed for us, I can't tell you how thankful we are, because we get to see, I mean, it's a miracle to get to go, that had nothing to do with me. It was just for me, because somebody was interceding on our behalf. And so truly, it's not just an image. It's not just a graphic. It's not just a thing. We cannot tell you how thankful we are of you guys. And I think that's a lot. I don't know. Yeah, all right. So, I always prepare. We got 17 minutes. All right. Over the the last 5 months in Israel, for a significant point of that, and like all of 2024, basically, for me, it was, why us? And so last time when we came and spoke, and it was like, I have nothing really to share about Israel, because I have no idea. I know I'm supposed to be obedient. And that's what God was working out in me. We went in January, and that's what God literally told me as I was like, what am I doing here? And he literally just like dropped this word in my heart of like, I'm working it out with your wife, and you're going to say okay. And I just said, okay. We'll see what happens. But you know, when somebody tells you something like that, you can get there logically of like, something significant is about to change. And so for me, that preparation of obedience was just like, who cares what Jake Pulaski wants? And that was the reality. Why are you going? Because he told us to. Because we're being obedient. Because we see the doors opening and we're going in the way that he is telling us to go. He says, he's behind me telling me to go left or right, and I'm going to go left or right. And so we went for the very reason that we just told you. Because people were praying for people to come alongside them and bring in a harvest. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know more than that. I know that I'm supposed to go, and I know what I'm supposed to do. Bring in a harvest. And in that place, what God really started to show me while I was in Israel, and what I want to share with you, is the heart of a bondservant and what it means. And so 1 Corinthians 7:22, and I'm going to try and get this out. It says, for he who was called to the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. And it's talking about, it's not actually saying you're a slave. He wants you to come as a son or a daughter and know your true identity. What he's talking about is the heart. A slave doesn't have to have a heart to serve his Lord just because his Lord told him to. He just knows it. But if you give him his freedom, he's going to be uncomfortable in that nature of being able to talk to whoever he wants, of being able to go wherever he wants, of being having a choice in what he does. Just like as free people living in the U.S., we understand I can do whatever I want. I can have whatever career I choose as long as I apply myself. I can talk to whoever I want. I can date whoever I want. I can marry whoever I want. I can do whatever I want to do. And so he has to work out in us what it means to be a bondservant. And a bondservant and a slave are two completely different things. A bondservant is a slave who his master said, either by decree or because of heart change, you are free. And the slave had a heart enough to go, but I love you. But I care for you. Your family is my family. And your will is my will. And so they would literally mark their ear. They would put a post in their ear so that everybody else knew, because they were doing the same job as a slave. It wasn't as a slave. It wasn't to remind them, because they already had the heart. They had the heart to wake up every single day and go, who do you want me to serve? Who is your guest? What is your will? What do you desire of me? This thing's going to keep locking on me. And so that's the heart that God began to show me, like, this is what I really want to work out. There's a difference between just being obedient and being a bondservant. So 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for we do not, and this is Paul, obviously, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Christ's sake. And what he's saying is, I'm here not just serving you. I'm not just serving you because it's a good idea for you to hear about Jesus. I'm not just serving you because I want you to have the same joy that I have, that I want to fill a gap in your life. He's saying, I'm serving you to serve Jesus. I'm serving Jesus through you. And you're going to know the love of the Master through me. Just like if I was a bondservant in the natural to somebody and I sat a plate of food down in front of them at his table, that they're not going to look at me and go, thank you so much for this food. They're going to look at the head of the house, the master, and go, thank you for this food. That's how I serve people. It's so that you know this is from the master. It's not mine. I didn't pay for it. I didn't do anything for you to be here to have it. You're not my guest. You're his guest. And we get that example from Philippians 2, 5 through 8. It says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He came and sacrificed his body for us so that we would know the Master. It was a gift from him. And we have to shut ourselves up when we get to the point that we're serving somebody and we think we need gratitude or recognition, or I want to see, I told you, Logan, I told you a word from God and you're not receiving it. It has nothing to do with me. It's between them. And so when I deliver it, now I need to intercede for it. Like, I really should have a heart of like, I'm just here to sow or water. That's what I'm here to do. And he brings the increase. He brings the relationship. He brings the salvation. But when we interject ourselves into it, now it's a possibility for me to pick up offense. It's a possibility for me to get downtrodden. It's a possibility for me to, like, my joy to be lost because I'm really just seeking happiness. And so to be a bondservant, I don't think every time they have a dinner party or had a dinner party, the master had to go, we're having a dinner party, so we need this many plates, we need this many forks, we need this many glasses, I want this tablecloth. He just said, I'm having a dinner party, prepare for my guests. And they knew what to do. And that's what he's telling us. That's what we're doing. We're preparing for a wedding feast. And he's saying, prepare for my guests. Prepare, let my guests know what's happening here. And there's a lot of people that are praying for people to come to the field to help them. And there's a lot of us that are not answering what we feel in our hearts that we're supposed to be doing. And we're going to have to answer to the master for that, I believe. There's going to be a point where people that are sitting beside us, not walking in their calling, not having hearts developed further into what God desires them to be, not spending the time that they need to even hear from God. In the military, we called it skating. And it always catches up to us. And that's where it takes us really knowing how God sees us in order for us to feel like we can even fulfill it. Because a bondservant was taught a lot of things to be able to come up, to be able to prepare for guests. It's not something that you just go, okay, I've got to do this, and you don't even know how to set up plates. I could not set up plates the right way, right? There's people that have the gift of hospitality. They're like, this plate goes on this plate and this bowl here and these forks here. And I'm just like, the paper plates are over there. And there's one of those party pack deals of plastic forks and spoons and knives. And I put a fresh bag in the trash can. So it's everything will fit. That's not my gift. But if it is your gift, then that's what you should be doing. And not so that it can look pretty, but because that's what God wants people to see. Somebody will sit down and go, you did this for me. And it's going to move them. I have no value. And somebody's setting up a plate the right way and forks in the right place. And it's going to edify something inside of them and build them up into who they are in Christ. And so how do we get our flesh out of the way so that we can do that? And this is kind of, you may not agree with me, but I'm going to call something a lie that we've said as truth for a long time, and I've even said it. And it's what humility is. And who has heard this? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Anybody heard that? Okay, here's the lie in that. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. It's not about thinking of myself less. It's thinking less of myself and more of you. That's what a humble heart is. It's going, I know who I am without him. And I don't want you to know that about yourself. I want you to see the reality of how he knit you together in your mother's womb. And I can't do that if I'm just trying to think about myself less. I have to do that from a place of knowing you are the most important thing in the world to Jesus. And I don't have to treat myself like that. A lot of people go, well, I mean, so are you. Yeah, people treat me that way. That's how I know it. People treat me with humility and servitude, and my wife does this. That's why I know my wife is way more important than me and how I see her. If I try and hold on to something to try and keep it from God so I can give it to her, it muddies the waters and it pollutes something that he never intended. He wants me to serve him through her. And I can't do that if I'm just trying to think of myself less. And this is where it gets complicated when you move into another country and you don't have community and you don't have cheerleaders. And you don't have those people that are building you up all the time in person. And you're an outsider. And you have to speak truth. And it's why prayer really is this beautiful thing that we get to see unfold. Because it's easier to see people and their worth when people are telling you your worth constantly. When you see, when you feel Jesus serving you through other people, you feel his love through other people, and now you're on your own, you're in this little apartment in the middle of a war zone, being obedient, and you got to think of others as more important than yourself. And then your daughter asks you, are we going to be okay? And you tell her, you don't think God would bring you here to destroy us, but if he does, It's because they're more important. There's more important things than us just to continue breathing. There's more important things than me just being able to wake up and go to work and get a paycheck and have a nice truck and all of these things. In the military, really, there were times where you felt like it was life and death. But it's really not. This is life and death. This is that eternal moment where somebody is separated from their Creator. That people are, we're going to go, oh, I sat right next to you. You were right there with me. Why are you walking that way? I thought we were going to be here together. There's a harvest that is so ripe, and things are happening in this world that God is preparing people's hearts like never before, I think. Never in my time, in my age, like in my understanding. And it's not about somebody else. It's not about all of the people with mega churches and millions of dollars and all of that. I can tell you, like when I came to the Lord, He knew what I needed and He knew what I didn't need. He knew I didn't need my business and I didn't need money and I didn't need anything but Him and a wife that would walk with me. And before working 100-hour weeks, I could not have afforded the time or the money to go to Israel. And now I can't help but. So there's really no excuses for us. I'm understanding that I have less and less excuse to not be doing what God called me to do. That's the reality. And so then, it's going to keep blocking. It's because I ramble too much. So we're in this place where it's volatile. They don't really want you there, and they definitely don't want you there for the reason that you are there, right? Because they have this preconceived notion of what it means for you to be there, and they think that you're just there to proselytize and change them and convert them and all of these things. But the reality is, I'm just here to serve you. Because that's what Jesus told me to do. He wants you to know Him through me. And I'm living out my relationship with Him through you. And then all of a sudden, when I'm loving people like Jesus, sometimes they feel the love of Jesus. And I don't really actually have to sit down and correct anybody's theology or bibliology or understanding of what the Torah is or anything. And to be honest, I don't know what they know. Their capacity just for historical knowledge and information really makes me, are you smarter than a fifth grader? I'm not even sure, a kindergartner sometimes. Like, just being transparent, like it's amazing. But they don't know love like I know love. They don't know appreciation like I know appreciation. I know Luke 7. I know the debt I was forgiven. And that's what we get to share. Yeah. Why do you love me? I have no idea. But it's not me. It's His heart. And He has an incredible heart. Not just for Israeli people. Not just for Jewish people. Not just for anybody. For everybody.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the Bible says that, and Jesus said, I am here without partiality to anybody. And so that's the beautiful thing about what we get to be a part of. If anybody that comes out of Gaza that's like, I need help, I don't care what side you were on. Because there was a time where I didn't deserve help in the eyes of a lot of people. Any of us, really. I mean, if we're honest, you know what? All right, I'll say this. Noah got off the ark, prepared an altar, and made a sacrifice. And God said, now I know that the heart of man is corrupt. I've never built an altar. I've never sacrificed like that. I've never gone through that, watched everybody get wiped out and go, I've got to do this. And so if that's him and God recognizing corrupt hearts, what do we have? I mean, I was born with something gangrene at best. And that's where it gets into motive. Why am I doing that? Why am I going here? Why am I a part of this ministry? And it has to be something other than a good idea from Jake Pulaski. It has to be more than because I want to see these people changed and set free and delivered. It has to be because I'm serving my master. And that was the issue with Noah at that time. He said, it's a good idea for me to make a sacrifice because I just watched it. Everybody get wiped out. And that's what God was responding to. He's like, your motive is wrong. That's a free one. It wasn't in my notes. So why us? So this is, here's the other big thing I wanted to share. And I know we're 5 minutes after. You're called to do hard things. You are. It's not easy. We're called to suffer. We're called to be in discomfort. We're called to portray that because in our suffering, when we don't struggle, that's when people see a difference in us. We're going through the same suffering of the people of this world, with the people of this world, but we're not of this world. And then they go, why are you not having an issue with all of this? Why are you able to continue to love? Why are you able to continue to thrive in this environment? And it's not because it's any easier. It's not. It's not any easier for me to be in a war zone than anybody else. I can tell you, hearing those, like having that understanding of like what was going on and then seeing your kids in the same room as you, and they call them safe rooms, but it's really not. You're talking about a ballistic missile. It could not detonate and just fall on your apartment and it's over. So it's not any different naturally. And if I were to sit there and logically go like, is this good parenting? If I don't want bullies on the playground, but I'm taking my kids into a war zone. Right. And the difference is, there's a lot of hard things that we go through because we're human, just because of the experience of this world. And there's other hard things we'll go to because our calling carried us into it. Yeah. That's where our ministry happens. It's not because eggs are expensive. Right? And we go, oh man, I don't get a 5-egg omelet every morning. That's just because we're here. I don't need somebody interceding on my behalf for eggs. I need somebody interceding on my behalf so that I'm unaffected by the things of this world where God called me to serve. I need people interceding on my behalf, and I need people to go, keep doing the hard thing, Jake. Keep doing the hard thing, Jake. Keep doing the hard thing. And I'm standing on the edge. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can go another day watching my kids be fearful in an environment where I can't tell them, like, we're going to make it for sure. But that's what we're called to do. And I'm not saying you're called to leave. I'm not saying you're called to another country. But what hard conversations are you not having? Because I want to be comfortable. There's people in workplaces. There's people in our family that are lost. And it's our responsibility. Because I see him as Lord, and I've been made a new creation, and I was reconciled to him, through him, and given the ministry of reconciliation. That's what it says. That's what this says. And so we're either going to like make excuses or just let ourselves off the hook or start taking this as real, just infallible, inerrant, like it's the real word of God. I don't have to add to it. I don't need anybody's commentary on it. I'm just going to read it and let God do an introspective work on me so that I can have the courage to do the hard thing for him. And that's what we have to do. That's what you have to do. And I'm not telling you to criticize you or critique you. I'm cheerleading you on. Do the hard thing. There's people that need you to do the hard thing. And you're going to get to heaven and you're going to go, oh, wow, you're here. And they're like, yeah, because of you. And we're going to get to see it and rejoice. And not go, where is he? Where is she? I thought for sure, because they were so good. So my hard thing came in the regard, hardest, one of my personal hardest things. Those are the words. When I still didn't know, why is it us that are here? And we met with the pastor, and it was supposed to be this huge long meeting, like for visas and stuff. And I had to convey, like, here's where I think this church is, and here's where I think your heart is as the pastor. And it was really awkward. And that's why I think we get visas. And he literally went, yeah. You're going to get visas. We already prayed about that. I want to go back to this. And we talked about it. Stephanie, this is funny. Stephanie was out of the room when that happened, so we actually left that meeting, and she never knew we got affirmation on the visas. And so, like, we're walking home, and she's like, so what's going on? I'm like, oh, yeah. It's not a big deal. And it's, so then leaving that meeting, and I'm making this pretty quick, but leaving that meeting, he told me, he said, I want you to pray, and then come tell me what God tells you to do in our church. And that felt like I walked out of there with like 250-pound bags of concrete under each arm of, how do I tell you this? How do I pray this? This is your job as a shepherd of your flock. And so I didn't even pray for a while. I just kind of like chewed on that concept. And then I went and prayed, and I talked to Stephanie. I was like, here's what I'm hearing. And it was really simple, and it sounded very arrogant. And the simplicity of it really made it know that it wasn't me, because I get real wordy on things sometimes. Harley knows what I'm talking about. And it was just, I want you to be with him and him to be with you, and you to learn from him and him to learn from you. That's a hard thing to tell a pastor that's lived in Israel for the last 28 years and theologically is profound and has a heart to go with it. And so my resolve was, as uncomfortable as this is, well, and it was from Stephanie cheerleading me to do the hard thing. She's like, you just tell him that. And I was like, okay. And so I went and told him. We had a meeting. I said, this was really hard. How dare you tell me to go and pray and hear from God? And I said, here's what he told me. He wants me to be with you and you to be with me and me to learn from you and you to learn from me. And I'm going to, just to be transparent, I have no idea what that looks like. I don't know what it means. I don't, and you know, when we get there and start doing that, I couldn't tell you, like, here's what week one looks like. Right. And that's a hard thing for me. Coming from the military, having an entrepreneurial ability and like being able to logistically think things out and project and all of these things, it all comes back to being a bondservant. Yeah. Why are you going to do it? Why are you saying these things? Why are you doing these things? And it's just, because that's what my master told me to do. And I don't do it with perfection. I have to make phone calls and tell people I was in my flesh and that I missed it and that that was Jake and not the Lord and not anything. I have to correct myself on to not think less of myself but think of myself less. That's not biblical. And I can't tell you how many hundreds of people I've told that to. But when we know, we got to make a change. That's the reality. And so wherever God is like speaking to you and telling you what you should be doing that you're not doing, whatever correction is happening, that's the beautiful thing of conviction instead of condemnation. Conviction says change. Condemnation says you can't change. And so whatever you're going, I could do better in this area. I could show the Lord to somebody in this place. I should have said this. If you should have said something, that's the amazing thing about technology. You can call anybody in the world for 25 cents a minute if it's international and correct it. One beautiful thing that I really think is amazing is that any day that I choose, I can change my life by surrendering to Him. It doesn't take a monumental thing or to work everything out. You can make a change right now. That's the beautiful thing about having time. Is a 1%, a 1 degree change over time becomes a very big deal. And so it's not stop and do everything differently. It's what's a 1%, 1 degree change that you can make in your life so that Jesus can impact other people. And be obedient to it. And serve them because your master told you to. Not because it's a good idea. So thank you for y'all's time and y'all's prayer and all of it. And and Steve knows from last time, I'm not good at ending these things. I land planes like boats. But if you want prayer or talking or if you need something or want to hear about something, if you have a question about anything, we're here and I love being a cheerleader and I love coming alongside people. That's the whole point of our ministry, is to help bring what you've done in other people's lives and what God's done through you to fruition with you. And we love that. And thank y'all so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jacob. I'm going to ask Jacob and Stephanie to come and stand on the floor over here. And then I'm going to ask Pam and Cheryl if they'll come and stand over here. And you'll be dismissed in just a matter of moments. There were some things that I thought that I should say, but then Jacob said all those things at the end. This is not about you going to Israel. Zero. This is about you going to Israel. That's what God's called them to. More than likely, God's called you to go to work, to your job, and God's called you to go to school, to Oklahoma Baptist University. University. To work at Walmart. To shop at Walmart, to eat at Boomerang. God's called you to those places to do the same exact thing. Now, there's a possibility that God may have called you, may be calling you to go to Africa or China. But most likely, He's calling you to go to your family reunion and say, you know, I just get this feeling that you're having a hard time and I need to tell you about Jesus and how He delivered me from my hard time. That's more than likely what God's calling you to do. But I'm going to ask you, just if there's something that you're asking for or praying for, to come and talk to these two couples of that You may say, I don't even know what I'm here for. And just pray with them, and they can tell you. I believe that God can speak through them to tell you what you're here for. I'm gonna ask a blessing on us. And if you hang around for just a few minutes, I think that Jacob and Stephanie will be free, and you can talk to them and ask them some things. You can also go on their website and see, get some questions answered, sign up for their newsletter and all that kind of thing. But let me just pray for us right now. So if you hang out in the hallway, but don't be loud in here, because I believe there's going to be some ministry going on. And so just bow with me, if you will. We'll stand. And let me ask a blessing on us. Father, help us to be Jesus in the places that we go, just like Jacob talked about, that we don't have to be able to engage in apologetics and about why we believe what we believe and correct people's theology. That's zero what you're asking us to do. Mostly if we will just share the love of Jesus, and if you give us opportunity, share what Jesus has done for us. But mostly we just need to be loving and kind in all the places that we go. So bless us to be able to do that better and more, in a more Jesus kind of way, for your glory. It's in His name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Come be prayed for.